from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. As soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped into the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away in Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down towards the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nations finished passing over the Jordan. And on into the fourth chapter, first three verses. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight." We'll take a look at the rest of the verses as we move along in our sermon. Kids love to ask questions. Why can't I fly like a bird? That's a question I asked when I was a kid. Oh, I wanted to fly like a bird. Why can't I fly like a bird? Or why do I have to go to bed? Or why doesn't the dog use the toilet? Then there are questions that come and arouse more serious conversation. What happens when people die? Or why do we go to church? Or why do babies get baptized? Great conversations, starters, aren't they? And I hope moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, you take advantage of those questions. We're going to give that our attention this morning as we take a look at our basic text in Joshua's chapter 3 and 4. Israel is about to take possession of the land, flowing it with milk and honey. We'll also take a retrospect look at passages in Exodus and Deuteronomy. Now, I've organized my sermon by way of three points that are printed in your bulletin. Our memorial, remember what the Lord has done for us. Our message, know the truth of what the Lord has done for us. And three, our mission, proclaim to all what the Lord has done for us. Point number one, then, our memorial. Remember what the Lord has done for us. What a day that was. What a day, what a mighty fine day when Israel crossed the Jordan to take possession of the promised land. For 40 long years, they had been traveling through the wilderness on what has been called the long march to battle. Finally, they're at the front lines, ready to take up the fight and conquer that nation. But meanwhile, there was the barrier of the Jordan River. At this time of year, the river was at its flood stage, with a swift current of rushing water that gave little hope of reaching the other side. And the Canaanites were sitting smugly on the other side. "See what our river gods have done for us. You'll never get to take our land." But the Creator God had a different idea in mind. And he said to Joshua, "Go." And Joshua said to the priest, "Go, carry the blood-stained Ark of the Covenant of our God, the Ark that symbolizes his presence with us, and lead the people right into the rushing water of the river." And so they went, the priests, step by step, closer and closer. They came to the river. Finally, they raised their feet at the edge of the river and stepped into the water. And amazingly, their feet came down on dry ground. The powerful stream had been suddenly cut off by God to stand in a heap further upstream, and the Ark of the Presence of God made its way safely to the middle of the riverbed. Only after all the people had crossed was the hand of God lifted and the waters collapsed, and I imagine with a mighty roar rushed down the river. But not before something had to be done. The Lord said to Joshua, take one man from each of the 12 tribes to pick up a stone from the exact location where the priests had walked over and carry those stones on their shoulders to a place on the Canaanite side of the river, and there they are to be collected together. Why were they to do this? Because the stones would stand as a memorial of what God had done in safely delivering them from the rushing stream of the Jordan. And oh, did the prestige of Joshua rise up in that day? He was commanding their respect. Let's do a quick review now of what we've learned so far. We've discovered those men of faith, the priests who stepped into that swift current and found the way open. The select stones, only those stones where the priest had stood, only those stones over which the Ark of the Covenant had passed, only those stones that had witnessed the passing of the Lord and could give testimony of that. God was with us. And then thirdly, we had the vivid memorial. 12 tribes, 12 men, 12 stones, one monument. God's people united in the Lord's work, engaged in gaining a foothold in the new land, the land promised by God. Here was that memorial to witness that God had done this great thing for them, that he had brought them through the Exodus, that he had brought them all the way, that he had brought them to the foothold of the promised land. Paul wrote, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, how shall he not with him also give us all good things graciously? Romans 8, 31 and 32. Now when the children ask, what mean these stones? What is this all about? They could tell them what the Lord had done that day. The memorial in the Jordan stood as a testimony, along with two other memorials of the Exodus. The first memorial we read about in Exodus 12. Let me read a few verses from Exodus 12, beginning at verse 25. And the Lord said, and when you come to the land that the Lord will give you as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. The first memorial was the memorial of the Passover. What memorial do we observe in the New Testament that matches it? Do we have a memorial to match the Passover? The Lord's Supper. The communion of the broken bread and shed blood of the Lamb who put himself in our place that we might escape the slavery of sin. But it's also the story of the second monument. We read about the second monument in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you, then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household. before our eyes, and he brought us out from there, and that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes and to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commands us. The second memorial was the Old Testament testimony of the law, the ethical standards that God has set before his people. The testimony of the covenant of love that God swore on his oath, I will be your God and you will be my people and you are to be holy as the Lord your God is holy. And then he described that holiness in terms of the commandments that he set before his people. And we have as well a New Testament testimony to match it. The testimony of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is the law of the new covenant, the new commandment of Christ. And that brings us now then to the third memorial that we've been talking about, the 12 stones on the doorstep of the promised land. God did what he had promised. He brought them all the way, and now they had that first stake in the land of milk and honey. We preach Christ, him crucified and risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God the Father, where he is preparing a place for us in the new heavens and the new earth, our stake in the new creation, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first fruits of all who sleep. Three great talking points. This is what the church is all about. This is what our faith is all about. And when our children ask, what do these things mean? What is this all about? Well, kids, do I have a story to tell you? And we tell them that glorious story. Brings us to our second point. The message. Know the truth about what God has done for us. Two miracles bracket the Exodus. The first miracle, of course, is the dividing of the Red Sea that Israel crossed over on dry ground. And the second is the one we've been looking at, the crossing of the Jordan River. Do you see a pattern here? Yes, we see a pattern here, don't we? God rescuing from waters. Let's look at the development of this pattern in Scripture. Noah, rising above the waters of the great flood and debarking onto the dry land of a new world. And let's go even further back to day three of the creation. When the Lord God gathered the waters in one place and the dry ground appeared a place for man to live and prosper. Isaiah picks up this pattern in his prophecy of the vision of Israel's rescue from exile. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, the flame will not consume you. Now you understand that Isaiah's vision is a double vision. He sees not only the rescue of Israel from exile, but he sees as well the rescue of God's people in the last day. It has meaning for you and me yet. The last day rescue, the final rescue. God was in Christ opening the path through the waters. See him coming out of the Jordan at the time of his baptism to begin the great job of taking you and me from death to life eternal, from this old world to the new heavens and the new earth. That day, Christ showed us that he is squarely in the stream of the history of redemption. He was there at the very beginning. All things were made by him. He separated the original waters and the dry ground appeared for man's benefit. He was there when Israel was brought through the Red Sea, the cloud that went before them, the Lord with his people. He was there by grace and separated the deadly waters of the Jordan. Paul put it this way, and the rock that accompanied Israel in her exodus was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4. What a history, what a story we have to tell to our children. The story of the Exodus salvation, the story of those three great memorials, the power of God in action to save his people. And all along the way, it is the story of Jesus, our Savior. It's the story of the memorial, the Passover, the story of the blood smeared on the doorposts of the dwellings of Israel when the angel of destruction passed over them. But there was the Lord. Moses tells us, hovering over the people, interposing himself between the people and the angel of destruction. And so, when the judgment of death fell on all sinners, God was there. The Lord was there to protect his people, to take the blow of judgment. The Old Testament message of salvation is the Lord, the message of the Lord who suffers sin's curse for us. Our Joshua, you know, Joshua and Jesus is really the same word, Joshua in the Hebrew and Jesus in the Greek. Our Jesus, our Joshua said, "This do in remembrance of me." He set this memorial of his supper before us. Behold Christ who takes away the sin of the world, the message of the broken bread and the brimming cup, the message of the broken body and the shed blood of our Savior Jesus Christ who takes our sin away. He was the one who bore the brunt of an angry God and clothed us with his righteousness that we might be rescued. It's the story that we tell our children of the memorial of the law. At Sinai, God entered into a covenant relationship, a bond with his people that he would be their God. And they were called to be holy. As the Lord your God is holy. What a standard. Who can match such perfection? He set his obligations before us. The standards for such perfection. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. To love your neighbor as yourself. But the story of Sinai is as well the story of great compassion and mercy. For no sooner did the Lord say, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Therefore you shall have no other gods before me." What was the practice of the people? They raised up an idol. Another God, and worshiped. What do they deserve? God announced to Moses, "I will take my presence away from this people, destroy them, and raise up a new nation from you, Moses." And Moses begged God to forgive them. And the people went into deep mourning, and the Lord relented. He would not give them up. Why would he forgive them? Not because of anything that was in them. But he says in Exodus 33:19, because he is a God of incredible love and mercy, slow to anger and abounding in love, Exodus 34:6-7. On the eve of his death, as we will study in our sermon later today, in this eve of his death, John 13 tells us he loved his own to the ultimate. And in that love to them, he showed them the law of the new covenant. Our Joshua said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know This is your monument, this is your memorial, rather. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another as I have loved. How can we match that incredible love? My sin is always before me, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory and of our Lord Jesus Christ. By grace you've been saved, the gift of God, saved apart from the law. But then why are we called upon to keep the law, and how do we keep the law? It is because we've been given new hearts. And the Holy Spirit leads us in faith in Christ, our Savior, is the same Spirit that plants in us the excellent gift of love. I long to do the Lord's bidding. His love compels me. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. We show our children the great love of the law through our personal obedience of the law, that testimony of the Christian life that we set before them, reflecting the great compassionate love of Christ to love one another before a watching world. And that brings us to the message of the third memorial of God's grace, the 12 stones set up on the doorstep of the promised land, the 12 tribes that made it all the way. The message of Exodus redemption and the fullness of God's will. Rounded out there at Jordan, God had brought them through the wilderness. God had brought them across the raging river. God has brought them to that new world. Yea, though I walk through the river of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You've been raised with Christ, my friend. Raised with Christ. You've been seated with heavenly places. You have been seated already with heavenly places with him. God has begun a good work in you, and he will bring it to completion. And what good work has he done? Listen to this. If any one is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's the new work that God has done in you. The old has passed away. The new has come. You've crossed the river spiritually. Our Joshua says to us, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the message of Christ we bring. This glorious message. In the richness presented to us in the Reformed faith. The gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible alone, our highest authority, proclaiming salvation by faith through grace in Jesus Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. May we ever be faithful in telling our children, in telling the next generation. Psalm 71 contains what I call the prayer of the senior citizen. 71:18 reads, so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim thy might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Old folks, you wonder sometime why you're still here? Well, here you found out, didn't you? Psalm 71, verse 18. All of us in the Church of Jesus Christ here in Janesville, here's the heart of the reason why we are here. To bring glory to God and let his message be made known. This is our mission, point number three. Proclaim to all what the Lord has done. Let me read verses 21 through 24 in Joshua. And the Lord said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. What mean these stones? What a great opening. Tell your children what the Lord has done. In the words of Deuteronomy 6, when you sit down and when you rise up, when you walk along the way, a whole life testimony. Get the word out to your children. Get the word out to the world. Those of our forefathers in the faith told their children, and the prophets preached to the nations, and the writers wrote their books, and the psalmists sang their songs. And here we have it, the glorious word of God in the Bible. We are beneficiaries of generations and generations of faithful believers. Christ Presbyterian Church was planted to instruct the children of this absolute truth. You're undergoing a time of transition. You may have a new pastor, but you don't have a new message. It's that same glorious message of Scripture. May we ever be faithful to it. Tell the next generation the mighty deeds of salvation which the Lord has accomplished for his people. And the Lord will see to it that it doesn't stop there. Sharing with our children the way of salvation in this place opens up a conduit to sharing the gospel throughout the world. You know, from the beginning, God separated Israel for a purpose. And what was that purpose? Contained in a promise. And of Abraham's seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed. What an epic work. And the epic work has been accomplished and is being accomplished. The children of Israel told their children, and the news became known to the world that there is one God. The pagan Naaman had a slave girl who was Jewish, and she shared with him the good news of God's powerful prophet, Elijah. Young Daniel was carried off into captivity, but he interpreted the message of the Lord God to King Nebuchadnezzar. Matthew shares the good news of Jesus Christ, who commanded, "Let your light shine before all men, that they may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven." And Matthew drives that message throughout his gospel and brings us to the very last verse where Jesus said, as Joshua said, "Go," because the Lord said, "Go." So Jesus said to his followers, "Go into all the world. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And they went. Peter rallied 3,000 believers on Pentecost and brought the good news to the Roman centurion Cornelius. I love that name, don't you? Cornelius in Caesarea. Paul declared the gospel of the resurrection before philosophers in Athens and before King Agrippa and the humble Philippian jailer. We've a story to tell to the nations, a story embedded in the memorials. The three great witnesses of our faith, the message of the supper, tell the world the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Bring to mind the shed blood of the Savior and his broken body. While other churches are promoting political situations, we say no. We will stick with the good news, the only way of salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. May it never be said that we fail to teach our children the story of the cross of Christ, who died to pay for our sin. We've a story to tell to the nations, a story of the law of God, the new commandment of the new covenant. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. All men know that you love one another as I have loved you. When other churches are adjusting their beliefs to placate the culture, we say no. For we find our view of a healthy culture in faithfulness to the law of God. Amen. May it never be said that we fail to live the love of God, to love God with all our being and to love others as Christ loved us, and let the world know that way that we belong to Jesus. The Old Testament memorial of the stones rescued from the deadly waters of the Jordan. The New Testament memorial, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, Paul tells us. Jesus told the world, there shall no sign given you but the sign of Jonah, the message of the risen Jesus. Now is Christ risen from the dead. At the assurance of the, like the assurance of the river stones, we have assurance, for Christ is risen from the dead, and the Lord has brought us out of death to life. When other churches are adopting business models in order to grow, we say, no, we will stick with knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. May it never be that we will fail to proclaim the resurrection of Christ. On our way here this morning down Highway 14, I passed a billboard that said, get your message out. I should have titled the sermon that, get your message out. Jesus said to us, this is the message. I am the resurrection of the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Some years ago, members at Falls Church in Menominee Falls were asked a question in a survey. How did you come to know Christ? We were surprised and grateful by how many answered that they found Christ through the ministry of the church. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the same here. The Lord has blessed your efforts. No time to quit. When William Carey was called to go to India as a missionary, his friends tried to discourage him. The age of missions is over. It ceased with the apostles, they told him. Ah, but he answered that he was encouraged to go by the voice of God that told him in Christ, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he preached Christ to hundreds in India. The promise of God is caught up to Christ's church here today. He's with your ministry of training children and bringing the word to the next generation and reaching the world. May we ever be true to Scripture's, the glorious gospel of grace and grace alone through faith in the finished work of Christ. We've taught our children. We prayed for them. And the light is going on to all the world. I asked one of your elders to tell me where your young people have gone. They're in Colorado and Tennessee and Illinois and Indiana and Massachusetts and Montana and Utah, Wisconsin and Indonesia, just to name a few of the places. Praise God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, may we ever be slack in proclaiming the gospel at this place to the generation that's been committed to us, Father. May we never be slack, O Lord, in praying with them and answering their questions faithfully and carefully, because we have a message to tell. And Father, may we ever be faithful to your message. Oh, Lord, how grateful we are for the glorious gospel that's been committed to us. May we prove to be faithful to that gospel, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.